Jan Piggott, former archivist at Dulwich College, told me about its architect and some of the incredible features of this building.
Now, at the beginning of the 19th century, what we now know as the Old College had so much money because the value of the suburban estate rose sky high. And everyone said, well, the people working at the Old College are just lazy and the boys don't achieve anything. And there was an enormous change in 1857 when, by Act of Parliament, Dulwich College, as we know it, was established. It was no longer a charity. Fees had to be paid, and the number of boys taken in were about 400. It's such a lavish building on such a colossal scale, and such a wonderful piece of architecture, partly because the estate that ran the college received a colossal amount of money for three railways to be cut through the estate. And that money paid for the new college. And it was put up between 1866 and 1870. Now, the architect was Charles Barry, Jr. He succeeded his father, Sir Charles Barry, the architect of the Houses of Parliament, as architect and surveyor for the college estate. Now, the building is red brick and terracotta. It was designed to be seen from the railway as a kind of advertisement for the school. It's known that Barry got into trouble with the governors of the college because he overspent. He got carried away with ornamentation. And the style of the college is what's called eclectic. Essentially, it's a palazzo, and it has neoclassical elements, a Palladian ground plan, and the relation of the solids to the void, that means the windows and the doors, is Palladian. However, most of the ornamentation is Gothic. So the idea is to improve ordinary South London boys by putting them in a palace and reminding them of grandeur and aspiration. Barry won a gold medal from the RIBA, and they specifically named the building at Dulwich. So it did strike people as being a very brilliant work by a young architect. I found one review in an architectural magazine called The Builder, and it drew attention to the decorative features on the roof of the Great Hall, and it referred to them as a crowd of fussy erections on the roof. He's rather like a young poet who uses too many adjectives in the building. It's interesting that his father died the year he began to design the building, and I think there's quite a lot of homage to his father. If you stand back from the Houses of Parliament, from the Palace of Westminster, you will notice that there's a sequence of clock tower, Big Ben, followed by, in the centre, a lantern, and then on the right-hand side, there's the Victoria Tower. You get the same sequence in looking at Dulwich College. One of the most charming and unusual features is the terracotta roundels, which have portrait heads in relief in them, of people whom the college expected the boys to admire and be influenced by. These characters were chosen by the first master canon carver, one of the first headmasters to introduce modern languages and science. And this is reflected in his choice of heads. They started a fashion in London. The V&A, and I think the National Portrait Gallery around the back, but also the Natural History Museum. The original design for the college was actually a quadrangle, but Canon Carver didn't like that. In the second plan, Barry changed to the idea that you find in 18th century English mansions of a large central block connecting with two wings, each connected by a low corridor. In the case of Dulwich College, this took the form of a cloister. Ruskin didn't like the design of the college. He hated all the works of all the Barrys. Ruskin wanted to have what he called a black museum, in which the public could see examples of bad design of every type, and these would include the works of all the Barry family.
Well, Ruskin may not have liked the buildings at Dulwich College, but we do know that one of the school's most famous alumni, P.G. Wodehouse, had a great deal of affection for the school.